Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. And we have a treat today. We are joined by a newfound friend, I'd say, that I just met, Jimmy Aulis, who is a promising mixed martial artist fighter, currently doing Muay Thai. Jimmy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. I have a lot of stuff to pick your brain about.
Good. You know,
as much as I watch MMA, I haven't spoken to too many people who do it as often as you would say you do.
Yeah. I got a fight November 2nd.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you about that. Are you excited for that?
Damn straight. Yeah, getting ready. Absolutely. I got to start running next week, so it'll be like a 10-week camp. But
yeah, I was going to wonder, how many days do you train? Like the camp,
5 days a week.
5 days a week.
Yeah, and I run on, well, if you count running, 6 days a week is training. But I'm in the gym 5 days a week. During camp, sometimes on the weekends, I'll run up to the cities, the headquarters.
Really?
It's where Greg Nelson's the coach up there.
Greg Nelson.
Brooklyn Center. Brock Lesnar's coach.
No.
Rose Namajunas' coach for half the year.
I know.
Quang Lee, who just fought in the Contender Series.
Mm-hmm. Love Quang Lee.
God, there's so many up there. Juanita Shingles. She's a Muay Thai fighter. I think she's 7-1.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria Champion. Another one, she's like 7-1, about to fight for an Ignite title.
There's a lot of heavy heaters coming out of there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember the Quang Lee fight. I watched that.
He fought a tough dude on short notice.
I know, that's what I was saying, because he was supposed to be on the Contender Series, I believe.
Yep.
And then they called him up. A risk.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was the one who fought Chris Gutierrez.
Exactly,
correctly.
Yeah, just got leg kicked a lot.
Yeah.
It happens. Well, he's a leg kick guy. You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you go into a fight a little unprepared, it might happen like that when you're short notice.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to take that risk. I mean, if you get called by the UFC, I never have come close, nothing like that. Still fighting Muay Thai, but if I were to ever get a call by the UFC, I don't care. 2 days notice, 3 days notice, anybody, anywhere, I'm taking it. Because you never know. It could be one knockout, right?
Yeah, and you can even see guys who, they perform bad, they get their ass kicked, but Daniel's like that kid looks so tough.
Exactly.
I want them.
Bring him back.
Yeah.
He's young enough, whatever it was. You see it all the time. I mean, dudes are getting so good at the sport. It's growing so much that the competition is just at a different level. I mean, some people, I watched some YouTube videos. It's like people talk about MMA on Point is a huge video YouTube channel I watch. And they've put out a bunch of videos like, is the UFC in decline? No, I just think the competition is getting so good that the fights might seem a little stale sometimes, but it's because these dudes are so high level. They know what they're doing. You know, I mean, I was talking about taking risks, but there's a certain point in a fight you don't take. You can't take risks. You have to be calculated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guys that take risks, Dricus du Plessis, just kind of rely on having a chin. I saw a meme the other day. It was like, Izzy on one side, jab, feint, switch stance. And the other side was like, punch, don't get rocked, optional. It was a picture of Dricus.
You'd say Dricus is a special case when it comes to fighters.
He is. I don't know.
Take risks.
I'm such an Izzy fan that I don't even want to comment on Dricus.
Really?
I don't like that guy.
Dude, I've been riding with DDP since he joined the UFC. So
God, he's good. I mean, he's good, and he's talented, and I think he must hit like a truck.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Bet.
You know what I mean.
Eat so many punches.
Right. Don't get rocked. Optional.
I love that. So how old are you, Jimmy?
I'm 21. I just turned 21, August 21st.
Absolutely young.
It's like 2 weeks ago.
Hungry.
Yeah.
Where would you say the passion for fighting came from? Like, because you know you mentioned doing wrestling. So has this been just contact sports your whole life?
I wrestled forever, played football forever, played baseball forever too, but when I got out of high school, I moved up to Mankato, didn't go to college or anything, and I started like getting out of shape. I was like, God, I want to get back in shape. And I started, it was actually me and my roommate, we watched Adesanya versus Costa. And Adesanya just outclassed him,
destroyed him.
It was just awesome to watch, and it was during COVID, and like, I hadn't gotten out of the house, so we signed up that night. We had a few beers, signed up that night. Showed up on Monday, and I haven't stopped going. So that's how long ago? I don't know.
That's been 4 years. That was in September 2020.
Yeah, so I started training that Monday, and I haven't missed, like, 2 days in a row since.
That's incredible.
Besides injuries. I broke a hand, a foot, and toes. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's been a problem.
All good, though? Heading up to this November 2nd fight?
I got a dinged up toe, but we'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be fine. Running is going to be a little bit of an issue, but I've got buddy tape.
Stuff to help you with that.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
That's perfect.
Exactly.
So that's Wow. So then, I know you mentioned you do Muay Thai.
Yeah.
So do you have a professional record, amateur record at the moment?
Amateur record is officially 2-1. I've had 2 smoker fights.
Okay.
Which is like a scrimmage, right? So like your first few competitions is a smoker. It's like a scrimmage. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go on your official record, but it goes towards your bout count, which places you in your class, right?
Okay.
So when I report my record to like the promoter, it's 2-1, 2-0. So I had 2 smokers that don't count towards my main record, but when they announced me, I knocked both the dudes out in 30 seconds was the first one, and the second one was like a minute. And these were both like, I've been training for 6 months.
Yes.
So my coach put me straight into a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Won that one. Unanimous decision. Fought again a few months later. Won a unanimous decision. Won fighter of the night. Big-ass trophy.
That's a big deal.
Big-ass trophy my second night. And broke the shit out of my hand on this dude's face. Sorry, swore.
No, you're all good, brother.
I knew I would. I mentioned to my sister. I told her that I was going to come on here. I was like, I'm going to swear like a sailor. She's like, don't. So I knew I would. But forgot what I was saying.
Hand going. Broken
yeah,
on the dude's
broke
face.
Broke the shit out of my hand again. And the dude's nose broke in the same punch, like flat against his face. It was like the last 30 seconds of the round. Fight ended. One unanimous decision. So that was my second fight. Then I went into the national championship, the TBA Expo in Des Moines. Mm-hmm. This was in June. And I fought the first round. I fought a 27-year-old to a split decision, right? Very close fight. My coach thought I won. It's close. I can't say confidently that I won, right? It was a close fight. And the dude I fought 4 more times at the tournament and knocked out or knocked down everybody he fought 3 times.
Except for you.
For me. And he won the national championship. So I went toe-to-toe with the national champion, like arguably won. But it's like the only way you can lose and like gain confidence.
Exactly.
I guess.
And plus, like, to say your only loss is a split decision.
Yeah, right. And they pump out so many fights at this tournament that like the decision has to come like that. Right. So like right after the round, they just boom. Who won? You know, I mean, it is what it is. It was a close fight. That's on YouTube. But yeah, Nick Bennett, I commented on your Instagram post. I'm coming for you.
Nick Bennett, he's coming for your ass.
Yeah.
We love that. For real. Absolutely.
I commented on his Instagram post, see you next year, champ, with like the monster emoji.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're dedicated enough, you'll get back to him. And
he knows.
I mean, the amount of times we've seen fighters. Like, I mean, I always use, like, UFC as an example, where they lose a decision to some guy, and they're like, oh, I'll never see his kid again.
Yeah.
A year or two later, they're knocking him out.
Exactly. I'll see him again. And, like, just a close fight.
Mm-hmm.
Cut a lot of weight. Ended up having to, like, run outside of the venue to make my weight.
Really?
Yeah. Shave, like, 8 ounces off, which, like, doesn't seem like a lot. Mm-hmm. But I weigh, like, I walk around at 85, 90 and cut to 65.
And what is 65 for Muay Thai?
Super welter,
gotcha.
Yeah. But I'll fight at 70 for November 2nd.
Which is 170 welter. Okay. Yeah. I go by the UFC weight classes, so I never
just
know
so
how
many.
Other
There's just so many.
Yeah.
I know. I would have eventually, like, if I transitioned to Muay Thai, I want to put on, or when I transition to MMA, I want to put on a little more muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully fight at middleweight, 85. I got a frame. I'm 6'4".
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Pretty big.
I just got to put on a little more muscle. Can make 85 easy.
How do coaches feel about fighters fighting at their natural weight class? Do they prefer you to drop down, or they prefer
it's just
you to
so
stay?
Embedded in the sport,
yeah,
that like the coaches don't, I mean, they're gonna tell you to cut weight. Like, there's this dude on my team, Isaiah, he's had like 3 Muay Thai fights.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hell of a fighter, but they haven't gone his way, but he just wasn't cutting much weight. He's like 5'8", 170, just all muscle.
Oh, okay.
He's just built like a mini Arnold. Right, so it'd be hard for him to cut weight, but he could do like a water cut.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't cut much weight. So he's fighting November 2nd also, but MMA.
Okay.
And he's cutting more weight. It's going to go his way. He's a hell of a fighter.
Mm-hmm. Do you see in the future you doing MMA fights?
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. Hopefully in like 2-3 years.
2-3 years.
I want to take this next fight, go to Thailand, fighting the TBAs again next year.
Okay.
And transition into MMA.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully do jiu-jitsu for a year and a half, 2 years. My wrestling's pretty solid. I know that. I do MMA rounds in the gym.
Yeah.
And I take down a lot of the jiu-jitsu guys, but they pull guard. But yeah, like I'm one of the few Thai guys that puts on MMA gloves to do rounds with our MMA fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll, because I can wrestle, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
You've done it before.
Exactly. So I'll be all right. And I made state as a kid a bunch of times in wrestling, and then I ended up getting I was chubby and short. Mm-hmm. And kind of late bloomer. Got way taller.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was wrestling as like 225.8, I was just getting my butt kicked by like seniors, you know. It just wasn't fun, so I wasn't doing well.
No.
Yeah. But that was, that wrestling at the end wasn't very enjoyable because I wasn't.
I bet.
I wasn't having fun.
No.
Just losing isn't fun.
But then since you've gotten back into it since that Adesanya Costa fight, would you say you love this? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Like you're going to gym and you're like, I love this. I love
it. I've never had a bad day in there. Never once. Like, I coach the intro class, too. And I enjoy it. I thoroughly enjoy it. Like, mm-hmm. I look forward to seeing improvements in people. You know what I mean? It feels like every single class, if you break it down with somebody, right, and you're like, you see they're throwing their right kick wrong, and you try to work with them for 30 seconds, you can see an improvement by the end of class. You know what I mean? And that's what I like to see is, like, this guy's right kick got better. I know that walking out.
Mm-hmm.
Walking out. I did my job. He got better at kicking. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
He got better at something, whatever it was. I'll say it a lot at the end of class. Like, everybody got better at something today.
So I bet that's so rewarding, too.
It is. It is. Because then, like, you think about it from a different layer, too. Right? Like, you break stuff down. And now I know, like, when I'm throwing stuff, I know how to throw with good technique. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because I had to break it down 30 times for people in the intro class. Because it's always new people.
Right? Yep.
So, if you came in and wanted to try Muay Thai out.
I should do it, you know, for how much I freaking watch this sport. I gotta do it.
You gotta at this point, man. I got a few pairs of gloves. I'll borrow you a pair. You don't want to use those loners. They stink.
Really?
Yeah.
They're bad.
Yeah, because everybody comes in and just sweats in them. I don't know. They don't wrap their hands the first few times. So, like, it's excessive sweat in the gloves.
Really?
Don't use them.
So, I know you mentioned you want to go to Thailand.
Yeah.
So, I had a guy in here named Ben Davis. Okay. He's an MMA commentator. Sweet. Does all sorts of events.
Ben Davis. Okay.
The Bane, Ben Davis. Okay. He's done some fights.
I know Mike Davis.
Mike Davis. No. Ben Davis.
But he's a commentator for Ignite, which is just weird.
Yeah. So he went to Thailand. He went to Tiger Muay Thai.
Sweet.
Is that somewhere you'd want to go,
Tiger? I would probably go to Lana Muay Thai. I was actually scheduled to go with my teammate. He was there. He fought this morning, overnight. Damian Chili Dog Davison. Mark, write that name down. I swear to God. From Mankato. Damian Chili Dog Davison.
Damian Chili Dog Davis. I think I saw your Insta story.
He is an absolute killer. He's 16 years old. The kid just got his license, and he just knocked out a Thai kid in Thailand last night with a head kick.
That's incredible. How long has he been at it?
He started like a week after me. Like a week after me. And we trained together. Like when we're in the gym together, he's my partner. I'm his partner. He's the man. Mm-hmm. He's the man.
Which kind of just shows the age. It does.
Just the commitment. He missed his first day of school today. It was today to fight in Thailand. He's been there for a month.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there for a month at Lana Muay Thai. I was scheduled to go with him, and I busted up that toe.
Yeah.
It's healed up I'll start running again next week. So.
Yeah.
But I was scheduled to go with him and everything, and God, it was so cool to watch that head kick. You know, he's perfect. he called me right after. He was still all sweaty. He's like, did you see? He's like, call me Leon, headshot dead. It's hilarious.
Oh, I love that.
I know. He's a savage. But.
Oh, man, they're killers over there in Eastern Asia. Holy cow.
Oh, God, right? There's a rumor that, like, some of those Thai kids will like, take dives.
Really?
Because they get paid the same whether they win or lose.
Oh, it's just to show up. See, that's
It's
something.
Just to show up, mm-hmm. right? If you watch the fight, it doesn't look like that at all. But I think sometimes, maybe every once in a while, a guy takes a good shot in the head, and he's got to fight on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's got to fight again. He's not going to get up. You know what I mean? He could keep fighting, but mm-hmm. he's like, hey, it's not worth it. What are the odds he comes back?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you see on, like, we were talking about fantasy football earlier, like, for a second. If you see, like, the win projection percentage.
Yeah.
You get head kicked. Ooh, it's like 98-2. You know what I mean?
It goes way down.
You could maybe hop up, but, you know? Not a good call. He's probably going to do it again. So
my question is, I see a lot of fighters, because when I do card breakdowns for every UFC event, I'll on Tapeology, it shows how many amateur fights, how many pro fights.
Yep.
I see some, they've had 3 and they go pro. I've seen others, they have like 30 and they go pro. Now for you, 3 amateur fights in, when do you think the transition to pro is going to take place?
It's a good question. Maybe in the next 5 years. Within the next 5 years. By the time I'm 26, I'll be starting to enter that, like, physical prime.
Yes.
You know? And I'll definitely start then. Because they say you enter your like fighting prime at like 30, 32 in there.
Yeah.
And you're done by like 33.
Yeah. like, it's such a shallow prime
right,
for a lot
right.
of guys.
But for your whole career, you've been getting hit. You know what I mean? And your chin's held up until that one big one, you know? And like I've been hit a bunch of times hard and never been sat down mm-hmm. anything. So, which is another whole claim.
Yeah.
I ain't been dropped yet. So.
Hey.
Yeah. But. Probably next 5 years.
I'll yeah.
be pro. That's the plan. I think a lot of people, going back to what you said, like if they have like three amateur fights and they'll go pro, that does has a lot to do with like their like if they have like a wrestling pedigree or like mm-hmm. a kickboxing pedigree or something like that, right? Like Adesanya didn't need to spend a bunch of time in amateur MMA,
yeah.
right? Like I think he went straight pro. I think if you go pro Muay Thai, kickboxing, immediately you're pro MMA when
yeah.
you transition. You can't be amateur.
Yeah, because him and Wonderboy 57-0 kickboxing.
Right.
Asanya 75-5 kickboxing.
Right.
They don't need that amateur thing.
Absolutely not. I don't think they can fight like that. Because my coach, he had a few pro fights in MMA, and he had never had a Thai fight and had to fight pro Thai when he went to go fight.
Okay.
And he fought Aaron Brooks, who's a, maybe I think Brooks is the last. I know his first name's Aaron, 100%. Who was the number two or number one ranked 175er in the world.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was at the world tournament.
Yeah.
He had the TBAs. He fought him in the first round. This was 2 years ago. That's just like such a bad shake, right? Like it's kind of a bad rule, but I get it, mm-hmm. right? Like if you've had pro MMA fights or whatever, but then transitioning back to Muay Thai, you probably can't fight.
I bet not.
Right? No, like you'd have to fight a dude that would be 0-0. Never had a fight. Maybe a few smokers, and you've had pro MMA fights. That's not really fair.
I mean, I like to look at Bo Nickel, for example.
Yeah, right.
I mean, dude, wrestling his whole life,
right.
and then just go straight to pro.
Right.
Knocks this guy out
right.
like 10 seconds.
Right.
Like, holy
right.
cow.
Right. You got to have some power in your hands to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you put those little gloves on, it's a little different, but what does he fight at? 85?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's you got to have power to just,
yeah.
boom. You saw the dude, he goes like, I don't know, like a fish, he locks up.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
So what are some training techniques you do to strengthen that power? Is that something?
Yeah,
you
like
guys work
I don't
on?
Know, like you guys we don't like often work power stuff in the gym. Like
okay.
kind of if you've got it, you've got it when you walk in. It's like you don't really have to train power if you've got it. I don't have crazy power by any means. I like to think of my style as more like a death by a thousand cuts, right? Like,
oh.
I'm just going to hit you a bunch of times. I'm going to touch you up.
Wear you down.
That. Exactly. And but, like, if you've probably seen the video, like, Canelo, he's, like, swaying his hips.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then he just, whack.
That one.
Swaying his hips, the other punch. Bang. Just one punch at a time. That's, like, how you train power. I mean, lifting. There's certain lifting exercises that train, like, the muscles you need.
I bet.
But it's another whole thing. As MMA athletes, you know, you train stuff as mixed martial artists. You train stuff so much one-sided, right? If you're orthodox,
yeah.
right? Like, your one side will get way stronger than the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if I flex my back, it looks like weird on the
uh-huh.
side, like compared to my left.
Do you fight orthodox or southpaw?
I switch like
switch stance
30 times around.
Okay.
Yeah, I fight like, I don't know. I told you Adesanya is my favorite. I don't mm-hmm. think I don't want to compare my. I can't. But I like to. I switch so
yeah.
often. I faint a lot. Throw a lot of front kicks up the middle. A lot
mm-hmm.
of leg kicks and big right hands. That's my game plan.
So, be it a switch stance, would you say you'd prefer to fight orthodox or southpaws more?
It's weird because I prefer to fight orthodox more, but my best two strikes are my right jab, like overall, right? Like my and my left kick.
Okay.
Like left
my
kick
jab,
from southpaw.
Left kick.
But like, so like my left kick from southpaw is like my best two kicks, most power, quickest jab, like that's my
yeah.
quickest punch. But I like to fight the most from orthodox.
Okay.
I think it's because I like throwing my right hand.
Yeah.
You know, right hand looks cool.
Yeah, your right hand dominant, I mean, that's
right.
where all your power's coming
right.
from.
But like, I even growing up in baseball for the longest time, I was switch hit.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been decent.
Wow.
So I've always
okay.
been decent on both sides. I kick balls with, like, growing up, both feet. Mostly left-footed.
See, that's just talent, right? That's just something you're born with. There.
Yeah, and like, I was always decent when I walked in. Like, the first day I walked in, I remember feeling like not like crazy outmatched.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I puked and like from like body shots. You know what I mean? Like I was outmatched, but like I didn't feel like I was getting smoked.
No.
And you know, people go light on you, it's your first day, and I was being respectful about it, but like I felt like I was all right.
Uh-huh.
You know, my first week, 2 weeks even in the gym.
Uh-huh.
Kinda had cardio is not there, but
you can work. You worked on that though.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Right. It's a lot of running. Not
so. You're confident now, going like 3 full rounds.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was really confident going into the TBAs, and I ended up kind of gassing in the third round. But it was, I think, a little bit to do with that hard weight cut.
Yeah.
And it's a 4-day tournament, so you'd have to make weight twice. So I couldn't really put it back on. No. You know? I couldn't really rehydrate, so kind of lost my legs in the third, which. It was 1-1 going into the third. The third really mattered, you know. I was close, still a close round.
Yeah.
You know, went his way.
Yeah. I guess what? November 2nd. He'll be back.
Exactly. The dude I fight is 1-1, his record. He's like 6'8".
Wow. 6'8" at 165.
170 we're fighting at.
170, my
still,
bad.
Still.
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
Right, still. And then, like, he's got one video of him training on his Instagram. I looked at it. And, It's a fight, and he got spinning heel kicked in the sternum and broke his sternum and posted it. If somebody did that to me, you couldn't beat that information out of me.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I would never post a video getting spinning wheel kicked.
No, because then someone for you, I mean.
I'm going to spam that left kick.
You know exactly
where he's
going. I'm going
to spam that left kick.
And what you say is your best.
Exactly.
Best kick, that left kick.
It's not even going to be funny. Like, the left kick will set up the right hand. I mean, if you think about it, like, if you move your shoulders to throw a left kick, what comes right back with it?
Exactly.
Exactly. It's the momentum. And that's another whole... That's the stuff you pick up coaching. It's like, you start to teach people that. It's like, left kick, right hand. They're chained together. Mm-hmm. Bang, bang. Same thing with the right kick into the left hook.
Yeah.
You know?
All blends
shoulders
together.
Go this way, shoulders go that way. You know?
Yeah, that's
you
just...
You got to go back there way anyways. Exactly. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I love it. Like we talked about.
So we've got all the movements down. You know what you're doing there. Now the mind.
Yeah.
The mind. Well, what's the mind of a fighter like? This
God,
has always fascinated me.
God, it's weird. I feel like when I drink, I feel like Conor McGregor. Like I'm like, who's going to talk to me? You know, what are you going to do? And it's stupid. I shouldn't drink and like do that.
No.
But when I'm not drinking or just in camp, I dial my mind in pretty well. I listen to a lot of, like, different types of music. I guess Pop Smoke's my big one.
Right?
Like, I don't listen to Pop Smoke ever unless I'm in camp. Mm-hmm. And I just listen to Pop Smoke all the time.
Yeah, it's get you all
ASAP Rocky, right? Like, so I listen to a lot of music, dial me in.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, I have to feel like walking in there, like, nobody can fuck with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, who's gonna?
Mm-hmm.
Who's gonna? If you feel any other way, what's the point of being in there?
Yeah, you have to know you're going
to
win.
Right. You have to like see it before it even happens. And it sounds so crazy. Like people talk about like visualization and like manifestation, but that stuff is real. If you think about it, like I remember thinking before the TBA is like, oh, this is a world tournament. This is a national tournament. This is going to be tough. Like I'm going to have tough fights. But I felt really confident.
Yeah.
I felt like the belt was even mine before I got there.
Yeah.
I really did. I walked in there and I felt good. But I think I thought too much about the belt and not about... I never expected my hardest fight to be in the first round. You know what I mean? And it would have been, no matter what. Everybody else I saw him fight was not even close.
No.
He told me I was the toughest matchup he had. I talked to him like 3 times throughout the tournament.
Uh-huh.
He's a nice enough guy, very nice guy.
Yeah.
Short little just steezed up, threw big old punches. But even like looking at him from across the ring, I saw he was like built like a guy that's like has the... that has to have the game plan to beat a tall guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, he has to be in there. He has to, like, be confident against a tall guy. You know what I mean? It goes back to that fighter's mindset. If you're a shorter guy, your whole game plan has to be...
because you're punching upwards.
Exactly. Your whole game plan has to be, if I run into a taller dude, like, I know what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? I got to get inside and throw big punches, right? So that goes back to my mindset. It's like, well, I'm tailor-made to beat you.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? To keep you away from me.
Yeah.
So like this is all thoughts that you have like in a ring, and it happens in the backstage. You know, you're sitting back there getting your hands taped. I listened to like Bob Marley right before, just so I'm like calm down,
soothing.
Just calm
Zen,
down,
yes.
breathe. You know what's gonna happen. You know you're gonna perform. That's what I tell myself all the time. And you're getting your hands taped or whatever, and you're just thinking, perform, go out there and win. You know, above all costs, win. You can't chase a finish. People talk about that all the time. Like, it's never the punch that you thought would knock him out that knocks him out. It's like the one that just clips him, and you're like, oh, that didn't even feel like it hit him. And he's on the ground. You're like, all right.
Yeah, it worked.
Well, weird. Like, even body shots, like a good left hook to the liver, it doesn't feel like it connects well because they're not braced, mm-hmm. right? So when you're not braced, you can push in. It doesn't feel like it's, like, going anywhere. It doesn't feel like it hit hard, mm-hmm. you know? It feels like you hit a pillow. When you, like, drop somebody in the body, it does because your hand sinks up in there, you know? God, it's a weird feeling. I'll have to show you a video of me dropping Casey to the body.
Ooh, mutual friend, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yikes. But, yeah, I had a thought. It was with the visualization, yeah. I think, you know, how you were visualizing getting that belt.
Yeah.
You know, being like, I'm a Christian man. So yeah, I believe in God and stuff.
Me too.
So when you're visualizing that, you know, God might be giving you that, just not in that tournament
exactly.
you're in. It
exactly.
could even be the next one you're going to be in.
Exactly.
As long as you, like, see it and believe you can do it.
Right.
I mean,
like, he might be showing me that to motivate me to go even harder,
yeah.
right? And, like, and I didn't get it, and now I want to go even harder, mm-hmm. right? Like, now I'm so committed to go to Thailand. I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have my passport. Just couldn't end up going with a broken toe. Because they run, like, 7 miles a day. It just would have been
yeah.
silly to go out there and with a broken toe and watch.
Yeah.
Like, what I'm doing at the gym, I've been doing for the gym for the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just go there and watch or coach.
Yeah.
And even then, like, that shows that's commitment enough. Like,
mm-hmm.
What was the question? I went.
I don't even know. I mean,
yeah,
this is what happens.
Yeah,
you just
we just
start
talking. Yeah, no. But that just shows commitment. Yeah, like I show up to the gym and even hurt and just watch, dialed in. I bring mm-hmm. a notepad sometimes. Write
now,
stuff
when
down
you're doing, do you do face-offs even for these lower level
yeah,
fights?
Yep.
So when you're doing that,
mm-hmm.
what is going through your head as you're looking into someone else's eyes?
I don't know. I just wait for them to like blink or break eye
mm-hmm.
contact. Right. Like I just look at them. I never said a word. You know, just stare,
mm-hmm.
clench my jaw, like try
yeah,
to look
scary. Yeah, just try to look scary.
Right, yeah, like just try to look a little scary. Sometimes I'll put my hands up, like you gotta angle it so like the camera is towards you.
Yeah,
you know?
So I can get a good glimpse.
It's never like that intimidating, right?
Not really.
Like we didn't, no. Like right after you shake hands, you know, it's like if, especially at the lower level, there's no real beef, you know, like there's no Twitter beef at a Midwest card, you know. If anything, it's just people yelling in the crowd. You know, that's the only beef that
mm-hmm.
happens there. It's twice, three times a card around here that you, like, very clearly hear grab his dick and twist it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You
like,
hear
loud.
That?
Like, loud. Not each fight, but, like, throughout the whole card. Because I'll stay and watch the whole thing. I have teammates that fight on
yeah.
and stuff. And, like, oh, my goodness. People get drunk. They serve drinks. And they just start yelling. Those cards, it's up in Canterbury Park.
Uh-huh.
Horse racing in Shakopee. And, last few times they've had cards there, it's been like 3,000, 4,000 people. They sell
That's
out.
That's a good amount.
They sell out, yeah. And then they, it's really cool. It's like a bowl in there. It's,
yeah.
It's really fun.
No, I'm probably going to pop out for.
That'd be sweet.
When
yeah.
you guys fight next.
Yeah.
I'm just talking to Casey about
That's
it.
There's a lot of people out there.
I'd be very interested.
Yeah, I get a few tables. They give me like cage side tables for me to like distribute tickets.
Yeah.
So let me know.
That'd be perfect.
Sounds good. Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Be a good time.
So. You're in the back. You're getting taped up. You start
mm-hmm.
to make the walk
yeah.
to the ring, to the octagon. Does anything flip? That's a switch flipping your brain.
Yeah, that's
right,
where that's where
out.
I went back to. Like when I walk in there, I've got to feel like nobody yep. can fuck with me.
Nope.
It's Mike Tyson. He says that, right? Like
mm-hmm.
it's like when I enter there, I'm a god. I don't think like that, but like I think like it can be Stylebender in front of me, pray
yeah.
for him. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
If you see me in the forest fighting with a grizzly bear, help the bear.
Uh-huh.
Bro, help the bear.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean it. I got to feel like the best to ever do it. Why would you feel any other way?
Yeah, then there's no point doing
there's
anything
no point.
In life.
And you can see it. You can see it sometimes before a fight. Like, people are trying to hype themselves up, right? You know, pound their chest.
Yeah.
Like, and it works for some people. You think of, like, Robert Whittaker. His chest is, like, he's all
Beats
red, you
death.
Know? You know, he's all red. So, like, it works for some people, right?
Uh-huh.
But, like, for me, I just stand there and just... Look.
Zone in.
Yep. Just look across from there. I listen to my coach, what he's saying behind me. Usually, like, they'll come in there for a second. The ref will come over, check your shins out, check your gloves out, make sure you're Vaselined up, make sure you got a mouth guard on. And I hate it, but they nut tap you every time. And it distracts me for
really?
A second. Because they make sure you got a cup in. Like, they never take your word for
I
don't it. They
know
ask
I've ever
you.
Noticed that.
That. Especially these Midwest cards. It's happened to me like four times. You get nut tapped right before you walk
uh-huh.
in. Like right as they're like right after they look at your gloves, they come over to you. They come over to each guy's and they're about each guy and they're about to go back and be like, "You ready? You ready?" Right before that, they nut tap you to make sure you got a cup on. It's crazy.
Just like, bro,
the dude I fought in TBAs didn't have a cup on, and they gave him 1 minute and 30 seconds to get a cup on. Right, so his coaches were running, and they're like they're counting down. They're 10, 9, 8, and then he gets in the ring. His dude gets in the ring with a cup and puts a cup in 9 seconds before the fight. He forgot to walk out with his cup on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I adrenaline dumped or something, but it was weird because it was a weird thing. I was like, am I even going to end up fighting right now? Because it would have been an automatic DQ.
And would that go down as a win for you? I don't know how that those cards work.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think if I don't know. I don't know if I were to, if that were to happen, like if he wouldn't have had a cup and they would have, it would have gone past a minute and 30 seconds.
Would you just go the next round then of the tournament?
Yeah, just advance. Yeah, okay. But I don't know if it would count towards a win like on my record.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure.
I don't know. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy, we always do this fun game
on
every single episode of our special guest. It's called Blind Rank.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a category, and you're going to blind rank 1 through 10.
Okay.
And we're going to go through the list and see if you like it. So I know you do Muay Thai.
I like it.
So I figured I'd put down some Muay Thai strikes.
Okay.
And you're going to let me know, like, one being that's my favorite to throw, 10, I just do not enjoy throwing this.
Okay. I like it.
Alrighty. So first off, we'll start with a little uppercut.
Oh, one. That's
easy. Uppercut's your move.
Yeah, I had a fight. My first one, in the last 10 seconds of the fight, I threw 11 uppercuts. Like, you know that Tank Davis clip?
Yeah.
I love Tank Davis. I like boxing,
just
too.
Just leveling up.
And, no, I was throwing. It looked like, why I oughta. I was throwing them way down here, dude. And just bang, bang, bang. You can see the doctor in the background like, stop it. And I was just hitting him right off his guard. That dude ends up being 5-1 now. He's 5-and Jimmy.
Really?
Yeah, he's 5-and Jimmy. So, hey. A unanimous decision, 30-27, 30-24, 30-27.
30-24. What was that judge?
10-8. Yeah.
Oh my god.
See, like, some of the judging around there is questionable for sure. Like, you, there's a dude that trains at my gym. He's not gonna watch this. Seabiscuit, we call him, and he judges. And I would not trust that guy to judge my fight.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's sanctioned to judge, and I would not trust him.
No way. No, you
no
see
way.
Some of these judges like
questionable.
Uh huh.
Questionable. There was a dude that was fired halfway through a card. What was that, a month ago?
That was, yes, I think that might have been Abu Dhabi, the one like in August, I think it was.
Dude, fired halfway through the card.
Like, is he literally like...
That was so terrible. Mm-hmm. Were you watching? What fight was that?
Was that the Tai Tuivasa, Jersey Girls
fight?
Yes, it was. Fight?
Yes, it was. Yes. It was Tai Tuivasa. No, well, that would have been main event, wouldn't it?
Was it in the main event?
Well, that would have been a main event. I'm thinking of somebody that got fired like halfway through
a judge or a ref?
A judge. I thought that was recently. Maybe it's just the Tai Tuivasa one.
This shows just how many bad judging cases there are.
It happens
a
lot.
That's
and reffing, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's pretty solid around here. People are pretty... Especially amateur. They don't let stuff go too far.
No.
Because it's like, you're in the amateurs.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, there's no point in getting brain damage right now.
No.
You're getting enough.
Yeah, you're getting enough. You don't need that brain damage.
Exactly.
So uppercut, the number one
that's
strike.
I was waiting for that one because I was saving one.
I don't even have them in a specific order, so
that's
it's
perfect.
Kind of funny.
That's
all right,
perfect.
We have a spinning back fist.
Ooh.
Spinning back fist.
You know, I don't ever throw them. I'm going to put it at 8 because we have like a saying in our gym. It's a saying in a lot of gyms, but no spinning shit.
Really?
Because... I don't know. It's just risky. And, like, if you're sparring, you don't need to take somebody's head off.
No.
But, like, you got to train it to throw it, right?
Yeah.
Like, we throw it on pads every once in a while. We train it on pads every once in a while. And I feel like it hits hard. But there's also, like, a good chance if you throw it wrong, you land on somebody's forehead with your forearm. Oh, goodness. Your forearm is breaking. It's happened before in the UFC.
Uh-huh.
People's arms break. And it knocks the people out.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't want to break my forearm like that.
I usually see, like, it's, like, towards the end of the round, so they're, like, back, you have them pressed, and then they're backing up, and they just throw one to catch them off guard.
Yeah, right. Or, like, you throw a punch and miss, right, and come through on the other side.
And it's worked before, but, I mean,
it's
less than, sure, most
exactly.
cases.
I should – there's some people that still end up throwing them in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as many as in the past, like, when we first opened up, the gym first opened up, and it was a problem for a little bit.
Really?
So we started saying no spinning shit.
Because it can be fun at times.
Exactly,
but...
yeah. Like, I throw a spinning like heel kick on the bag sometimes, never thrown it in a fight, though.
Mm-hmm.
I should throw it. Watch out.
Spice it up.
Watch out.
Catch him off guard.
That's
all
a
right.
Heel kick.
We got a cross.
Ooh. Put that at 3.
Love
that's a
cross.
That's a great punch. You know, and I'm tall, so I should use those straight punches, right?
Mm-hmm.
More than, like, hooks and stuff.
Yeah.
I personally think a right hook... is just an overhand.
Yeah.
You know?
They're pretty similar.
You know, like, if you throw this one like this, you never really throw it on pads like this. It's weird. You can throw it out of the bag, but people will call out like four, so like 1, 2, 3, 4, right? And like, just call it an overhand.
Yeah,
just call it an
overhand. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, cross is a solid three.
So I recognize this because I was on the Muay Thai, there's like Muay Thai website, Finding cool. Strikes. A pull slash strip elbow.
Like a pull down elbow.
I believe that's what it was.
So like, that's an awesome technique. I'll put that at 2. I throw that pretty often, but I ended up throwing it into a cross more often to stay keep my distance.
Said pull slash strip.
I'll just call that.
I recognize the motion.
Pull elbow cross. I'll call that with a cross too because mm-hmm. Like people will throw a jab and leave it out there, kind of be lazy yeah. with it, and you just catch the back of their hand with your glove and. Like kind of slingshot yourself over the top of it, and you can put even more power into it by stepping in and bringing your elbow down too.
Okay.
Right. So like, I like to throw it more like an overhand, keep my distance, and just try to touch chin.
Okay.
You know, you can do the same thing on a cross. Like if they throw a cross at you and they leave it out, they're being lazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of leaving it instead of like zipping it back to their face. You can catch the hand, slingshot right over it with your lead hand, or if you're in southpaw, same idea.
Yeah.
But your back.
Yeah, I love it. I would never even think of this stuff yeah. just from casually watching.
Yeah, no, it's I love. I'm a counter fighter, you know.
Mm.
I think like I'm good. I'm very good at like timing and not that great at hitting hard.
Mm.
So like, if you're, I gotta catch you. You know what
yeah.
I mean? If I'm gonna fucking knock you down. So if I like to counter hit, you know, slip, bang, you know,
and get him.
Exactly. Yeah. So or catch your jab. That mm-hmm. cross over the top of it. Dude, at the gym all the time, I catch him with it. He throws a pretty lazy jab. I'll call you out, Jake. I'll call you out. Oh, phone storage full.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. Alrighty, Jimmy. So we've gone through a couple. How about a body kick? Where would you put a body kick? Good old fashioned body kick.
I gotta throw it at 5 just because I don't throw them as much as I should.
Mm-hmm.
I like to throw leg kicks and head kicks, just like leg. Head, you know,
yeah,
kind of set it up, look low, kick high, but I'd say I throw them a lot on the pads,
yeah,
you know, because people just throw them hold kicks here more often than uh-huh. like, you're not going to kick somebody in their bare leg
yeah.
on the pads, and like you got to really trust somebody and be acquainted with them to like hold up one pad or like two even to kick and
uh-huh.
kick you in the head, you know, you got to like really trust somebody, so more often than not, people hold them at body. So 5.
Do you like the experienced trainers usually the ones
yeah
doing
like
that?
If my coach will hold up like, you know, those boxing focus mitts,
uh-huh.
he'll hold up one for me, even like he trusts me enough to yeah. like just set it up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I could just basically throw a kick and set it on your shoulder almost. Yeah, I don't know, some spam 1888, but my coach will hold up like one focus mitt just because he trusts me,
yeah.
right? And like I know there's certain people in the gym that I will do the same with too. I know you got to have a certain level of flexibility.
Just yeah.
It's more about technique, right? Just like placing it on somebody up there.
Mm-hmm.
You can throw them hard on the bag. You don't have to throw them hard when they hold it like that.
I'm sure at the end of the day, it all comes down to technique.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, yeah. More than anything, technique is important. But also having like a fighter spirit. People talk about it a lot, but there's like certain people I know that just don't in our gym that just don't have it, and that's okay if you're fighting just to like say you did or like. Stay in shape or whatever, but don't act like you're
the top dog.
I don't. Yeah, even that or like that you're really doing it. You know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. There's just certain people. I'm not gonna call them out, but people. If you're listening from the gym, you know who I'm talking about.
Hey, you'll have to tag them. You're like,
yeah
listen through.
At.
Alrighty. Well, here's a fun one. How about a jumping knee?
Ooh.
Jumping knee.
I'm throwing it. See these crazy techniques, man?
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever throw them. And knees to the face are illegal in amateur Muay Thai.
That's good to know.
Knees to the body are illegal. Elbows to the face are illegal. Kicks to the head are illegal. Everything. But besides knees to the face.
So is that one of the only
yeah,
illegal
it's the only
ones?
Illegal strike. And like oblique kicks, right? Like so like a forward kick to below the waist.
No.
You can't throw those like knee kicks. Even like just to check range, you can't touch that up. Like that little front teep to the knee.
Well, to squeeze that in right now, I had oblique kick on here. Now to trip, like, what are your thoughts on the oblique kick?
If you can knock me out, I can try to kick your knee.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think that's I'm gonna put oblique kick at 6.
So I was trying to think. It might have been. I think Robert Whittaker was fighting someone, and he does the oblique kick often. Yep. And they're like, if he tries that on me, I'm gonna beat his ass. Like,
well, good thing you guys are gonna fight.
Yeah.
Good thing you guys are gonna fight. But like, there was the real bad one, like Khalil Roundtree, I think it was.
Modestus Bukauskas, yeah.
He stomped his knee out. That one's bad. Like, but like, if you're just, especially if you're checking range with it, I love it. It's the same idea as a teep. You just, it's quicker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same idea as a front kick to the stomach, but you're throwing it to their thigh, and maybe making them switch their stance to a stance they don't like. Right. Mm. Like if you throw that hard enough, they're and they plant their leg, they're gonna mess up their knee. Right. So they've got to let it ride.
They're gonna
switch
moving.
Them to a stance that they don't like. Bang, bang, bang. Right.
That's in your favor.
Exactly. Okay. So like, I would love to be able to throw them, but I can't. I throw them sometimes in sparring, but.
Yeah,
people don't get mad about it. Especially, I just, like I said, use it to find range. Mm-hmm. Never tried to stomp, like turn my hip over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like jump down into it. No, but like I'll throw it forward.
Yeah,
stop you in your tracks.
It'll work.
Hey, slow down. Yeah.
Oh man! All right, we got a roundhouse kick.
Ooh. Okay.
Roundhouse kick. Yeah. A lot of these are the fun ones. You see all the clips online.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not as popular at the lower level.
No, I'm gonna throw that at four. Roundhouse is that the jump spinning, or is that just a, you're talking like a regular
right roundhouse kick.
Just a right kick or a left kick. Yeah, four.
Right.
Yeah. Because like we just call that a rear kick or a left or a switch kick. So like you switch your stance real quick and throw that left kick. Like what Pereira knocked out Prochaska with the most recent fight.
Yeah,
you know, that's just a quick stance change and you get closer to him, right? So your right foot comes forward. If you're an orthodox, your right foot comes forward and kind of to the right to take that angle to kick, right? And your left foot hops back at the same time. So bang, bang, and then you throw it up. Like a, like you were in southpaw throwing a left kick.
And if you get that fastness down,
exactly.
Maybe they want to catch
switch,
it.
You know, like a lot of people, a big part of that is not jumping into it. So like a lot of people will, it's a big tell, right? Like jump your head up, right? You just got to boop, switch your seats. Boop, boop, boop. That's why I like switching stances. It's like a big thought of mine is like you get eight different strikes. It's the art of eight limbs. You get eight different strikes as soon as I switch stance, right?
Yeah.
Eight possible different strikes that could land. It's like, oh, I don't see anything. I don't see anything. Switch. Maybe a teep's there. Boom. Right away. And like people, you can disguise stuff in stance switches. You can get closer to people. Like illusionary. You can keep your head at the same spot. Move your feet closer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're closer to the dude, but they're staring at your shoulders, whatever it is, and they don't see that, right? Mm-hmm. There was I used to use this a lot. I should go back to using it. But like a duck down and step forward, right?
Uh-huh.
So you duck down, come back up, and you're just this much forward to him, like your shoulders are. But your feet are next to him. And you've got the angle just to throw a big right hand, right? And they don't even see it. They won't even move, right? They'll just sit there standing there like it's – the fight hasn't changed, right? I try to be, like, very cerebral when I'm fighting. It's, like, one of my best tactics, I think, maybe. Or
yeah.
Best qualities, maybe. But I think that's why I'm coaching too.
Exactly.
Like, I know. I kind of think about it at another level. I'm always thinking about fighting, right? Like I think about fighting in fantasy football and my dog. Like,
yeah.
Like I fish a lot too, so yeah, gotta throw fishing.
It's fun stuff. First time I met you, you're at the bar. You're doing
was
a little
throwing some shadow boxing.
Yeah, I was like,
that.
I gotta talk to this guy.
I totally believe that. Yeah. No, that's my problem. It's like. Like I was going back to earlier, when I drink, I feel like kind of regular. I'll just, like going back, mutual friend Casey says it too. When I drink, I just will fight anybody, and it's a problem. I haven't been in a street fight in some time. It had been like 3 years, and then I got into one like a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to talk about that one.
No, we don't need to expose
it.
It went well.
Uh-huh. It went well. We'll go with that. But I don't like, it's always a bad feeling to like, get into a street fight, especially like the next day, right? Because like I could get in more trouble for doing that.
I bet.
You know, just because like I've trained and like I've had amateur fights and stuff like that, I'm sure like a judge wouldn't see that very well.
And you fight one loudmouth, never gotten a fight in his life.
Exactly.
Then...
It's like what do I have to prove? It's stupid. I hate street fighting when I'm not drinking, and I'd hate it when I'm drinking too. It's just like I'll talk crap, and my friends know I fight, so like they'll talk extra crap too when they're with me. They're drinking too. Like, I've got somebody, one of my friends has a really bad, and one time at a party here, at the same apartment complex, he Febreze'd a dude down because he smelled like BO.
Oh my gosh.
He would never do that. He would never, ever do that if I wasn't there, you know? He just knew that he had backup, for sure. And like, what are you going to do? What are you going
to
do?
And you see, that's just unfair to you because then, like, yeah, you know I can kick his ass.
And you know I'm going to defend you.
Exactly.
You know, like, I'm not going to, you're on your own. Hell no, like, that's not me. Especially, like, I've had a few beers too or whatever it was. This was, I don't know, sometime back. And the dude's friends got all mad about it. And, like, understandably, like, that's disrespectful, but it's also disrespectful to show up to a party smiling like that guy did.
Yeah.
So, but when I say he sprayed this dude down, I mean, like, 10 seconds. I mean, like, this dude was choking on Febreze. Like, and he just accepted it. He just, like, took it. He's like, I know. He, like, he knew that he smelled. Ew. He had to have. And, like, I told his friends it was disrespectful. Like, they were being disrespectful to him by not telling him, like, bro, go shower.
That bad.
I would tell my, dude, the moment I walked in, I smelled it. The moment. I mean it. Like, I walked in, I was like, whoa. Whoa. This was at Casey's house.
Yeah.
This is not good, but
probably right where I ate dinner. He was probably standing.
So yeah,
that's just great to think about.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mentioned I saw you shadow boxing and one punch. I obviously saw you throwing to kind of wrap up the blind rank. Yeah. A jab. It's one of the first ones you learned.
Oh, jeepers.
I know you filled your list up pretty good.
I should have left. I didn't think about jab. I have 7 and 10 left, but
okay.
Maybe I forgot to write one down. I'll put it at 7, as high as I can.
All right.
It's more like a 2.
Yeah.
I love throwing the jab. Mm. I'm just tall and long. You know, I got to throw jabs.
And then number 10, just to go over the blind rank. I had a Rolling Thunder kick just because I think it's so funny.
It's got to be 10 for me. I've never thrown it, but I love Justin Gaethje. I really love Justin Gaethje, and he's kind of brought that to MMA a little bit. He hasn't done it in a lot. He actually did it right before he got knocked out by Max Holloway.
I was about to say, I thought he did it.
He did it
him.
Right, like, he was standing up.
And then is that when he did the finger down?
After a Rolling Thunder and walked to the center of the octagon. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. That was crazy. I love Max.
Yeah.
Nearly as much as I liked Justin.
Uh-huh.
And that was just a hard fight. Yeah. Hard fight to see Justin get knocked out like that. But it was such a highlight that it was like, I would rather not see him go out any other way. You know what I mean? Like, I would, if he got knocked out in the second round.
1 second left. Face plant. Right. That's like how Justin Gaethje would go out.
You got it. He's out on his shield, right? Did you see the picture? It was like his blood from his face was imprinted on the octagon.
Wow.
I will have to find that. Yeah. I'll send you that. That is actually insane. I've saw it one time on like Instagram, 2 times on Instagram, and I haven't seen it again.
I've seen the pic of Max just, like, you know, full together in the background as Gaethje just laying there
unconscious.
Yeah,
that's one of the craziest pictures of all time, right? And he was yelling, I'm him! I'm him!
You can't are!
That's the biggest I'm him moment of all time.
Oh, like, man.
Let's go.
And he does it all the time, and finally, he knocks the guy out.
Well, he got somebody that would, like, fully oblige to it, right? There was another one. Who was he fighting when he did it before?
The original, or is that with Ricardo Lamas in the day?
Yeah. When they, like the one that was on highlight tapes and stuff, that they were slugging it out and stuff. But
it was so good.
But he got somebody who would, like, fully oblige, like, one of us is going to sleep right here. Like, one of, like, and that's the guy, Justin Gaethje. Talk about the BMF belt. That's what that fight should be, you know? And now it brought Max to such a level.
He's on McGregor level where he can be the main event of a pay-per-view.
Exactly.
Doesn't need an actual belt.
No. Exactly.
Incredible. Well, hold that thought on UFC fighters. For your blind rank, what are some things you would change if you want to run the people through the list?
I would throw jab up to 2. I'd move pull elbow cross probably down to 4. I'd pull roundhouse down and body kicks down 1. I'd move up jab mainly. Mm. Rolling Thunder can stay. That's good.
Yeah.
Jumping knee, spinning back. This is crazy. All the crazy techniques are down here. It's just I don't really like throwing anything crazy. It's like, it's just risky, you know? I was talking about you got to be somewhat calculated, and I feel like that's like one of my biggest strengths. And there's a certain aspect of taking risks, for sure. I mentioned it as well. But those crazy techniques aren't me. Yeah, I'm athletic, but maybe not like that.
No, and they're risky, too, in a fight.
Well, like, if you throw a Rolling Thunder, you're, boom, you miss, you're on your butt. Either way, you're on your butt, right?
And
you're
not going to plant down that. On you.
Exactly. You got to knock him out with your heels.
Right on the chin or on the forehead or something.
Yeah, you'd almost have to hit him in the back of the head to knock him out. You know, like, that's such a weird angle that you'd almost have to do it, like, like not straight spinning? Up and down, but
yeah,
like
to try to hit
the
chin. Angle.
You know what I mean? It's just, it'd be such a weird angle to, uh-huh. to try to hit the chin. I don't know. So yeah, leave these. I'd definitely move jab up.
Perfect.
Uppercut's good.
Uh-huh.
That stays.
Perfect.
Yeah, you'll see more of those for sure.
I like the list.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of UFC fighters,
yeah.
If you could meet any fighter, doesn't have to be UFC, but probably all the big ones are,
yeah.
who would you want to meet and what would be a question you would ask them?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
God, I'd want to meet Justin Gaethje and I'd want to ask him if he still thought it was a choice to go to sleep. Because
mm-hmm.
he really? Used to say that and like adamantly preach that he thought it was a choice to go to bed.
Really?
Yeah. And clearly, I don't think it is.
No.
Like, if you hit that button and sleep, but I would like to ask him that just to see his answer.
Yeah.
It'd probably be something like, I don't know.
He hit me pretty good.
You know, something crazy. Him and his plugged up nose, but yes, the Yankee. But he has a line that I really like him. I think he's just a cool dude, cool fighter. And I think
yeah.
He had a line one time in one of his podcasts, like vlogs before the Holloway fight. And he's like, man, I don't know how to do much. I'm not good at much, but I can cook a steak and I can knock somebody out. And I
that resonated?
Yeah, dude, like I can throw down on a grill and
yeah.
I can throw a punch. And like I felt that one. I laughed so hard. It was just like unexpected. He's like cooking a steak in ghee. And he's like,
I think I've seen that actually.
He's like,
that was
he's like
about
he turns
it.
To the camera, he's like, I can knock a dude out and I can cook a damn good steak or something like that. He's like, it was perfect. And I was like, all right. Yeah, we're damn near the same person. I don't take the type of risks like he does, but I don't fight quite like that.
Mind
I would
you,
use my wrestling the same way.
Mind you, you know, he's been at it a long time.
Yeah.
You're three amateur fights in. Who knows?
Exactly.
Maybe you'll be throwing a Rolling Thunder in here before pre-UFC
exactly.
days, knocking
you know,
a guy out.
It's like weird. I talk about being cerebral, but in the fight, you have like three conscious thoughts around. Right? Like it's black. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? That's why you train. Stuff's happening so fast, you've got to rely on reactions. Like, one thought in a round was like, I got cracked, and I literally thought, where am I? And the only thought that popped back was arena, and I just went back to fighting. And
yeah.
like, if you watch the video, it doesn't even look like anything happens. I just get cracked, and I like, just kind of keep walking forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe a little zombie walk, but like, nothing crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I remember thinking, where am I? I remember thinking in a round, I need to throw to the body. And then I threw a shot to the body and then went upstairs and broke the dude's nose
yeah.
and my hand. So, like, it's just very few thoughts around. But I talk about being cerebral.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think you got to be some kind of special in your mind to be able to be a fighter. Like,
yeah.
You can't just – the average person doesn't think like most fighters.
Yeah, and it's so – I think you're right. But, like, it's an easy enough change. I think it's doable for everybody. It's not like you were born – maybe you were born to be a fighter, but it's not like you were, I don't know, it's like you're a gladiator when you're born,
yeah.
you know what I mean? It's like, you can attain that,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? That, like, grit and drive
yeah.
and whatnot, like, want to achieve greatness. Like, I think that's doable for everybody. It's just, like, the big thing of it is, like, you have to want to. And I think a lot of people don't, and a lot of people do, and kind of ends up sorting people out
yeah.
through that.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you mentioned you're a coach. You know,
mm-hmm.
you've been doing this 4 years concurrently.
Yeah.
What are some tips you would give to beginners? Nervous to join MMA gym? Starting
yeah.
to join MMA gym?
The hardest thing you'll ever do is walk in the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? After that, it's cake. It's like it's scary. It's not cake. Like, practice is hard, right? But, like, it's really scary to walk in the first time until you meet the goofballs who are on the mat,
uh-huh.
right? Like, it's just like, you see all these personalities in the UFC or in pro sports, like they're normal people at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that anybody in that gym is famous. You know, Tim Johnson.
I think Casey mentioned Tim Johnson.
Yeah, I spar him.
Legend.
Yeah.
Didn't,
Fedor.
But didn't
yeah,
he just fight on the PFL
yeah,
too?
Yeah, he just lost. Yeah, he was in the playoffs. He just lost in the PFL.
He had a
playoffs.
Shocking round one victory
yeah,
though, or
yeah,
however they do it.
Yeah, that he got kicked in the nuts and dropped the dude at the same
that was
time.
Awesome.
But yeah, dude, I've sparred him a bunch of times. He's up in the gym pretty often.
Great guy.
Like, he's like one of those old school. He still drives truck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's like one of those old school, like, he's still working hard, like, walks in, his hands are all dirty. He just dropped off a load of pigs and he's about to go blast the bag. Like,
What a guy.
Right, he's just very nice. And I remember I shook his hand the first time. He's like, you got a good handshake. And that's how, you know, it's a good guy.
That's
you know,
a great
thing. He's thinking about, like, mm-hmm. you gonna shake my hand well? You know, he's got these nasty cauliflower ears.
That's like the typical Midwesterner reaction. Exactly, like, you right. got a good handshake on you, boy. Exactly. You'll go far.
Exactly. Like, keep shaking people's hand. Yeah, he doesn't have an accent or anything, but he's a good guy. Like, if you see it, it's like... post-fight interviews, he's got, like, a big dip in.
Really? I never noticed
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's just, like, a normal guy, you know? So, like, I would say to people, like, just the hardest thing you're going to do is come in the first time.
Yeah.
After that, throw stuff light. Everybody comes in and just wants to, like, blast the pads, mm-hmm. blast the bag. But, like, you can't sprint until you know how to walk, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got to learn the technique. It's like, throw a cross, I'll tell this dude. Because I, like, let him... throw it a few times by themselves to, like, maybe let you know, like, you figure out yourself you're doing it wrong, right? Like, this doesn't feel or look like what they're doing.
No.
Right? So, I'll let you figure out you're doing it wrong maybe once or twice and then help you out.
Exactly.
I won't let you ask me for help, but, like, I'll get there before that. But people just come in and throw stuff way too hard. And you'll get hurt. There was a dude who broke his wrist, like, his second week in there just because, like, he was, number one, holding the pads wrong. It wasn't really his fault. The dude just kicked him really hard, and it's like, we were warming up, man. I know you were holding the pads wrong, but he broke his wrist.
And now you're out for a bit.
Right, and like that scares people away, you know, from like, this. Mm-hmm. It was this dude, he just purchased his first membership, his first month of membership. He loved it. He was having a great time, this dude blasting in the forearms with the kick. Broke his arm, forearm, wrist, whatever it was. And he's still been back in the gym just training with one hand.
Yeah.
And he's been at it for like 1 week.
You know? I think Casey mentioned, I won't drop any names, but you had some guy who recently joined and he was very like aggressive and the coaches had to like simmer him down.
Yeah, no, that's happened before. Yeah, like coach calls it the mat enforcer. Like he'll usually do it. Like if somebody comes in and they're like being pretty wild,
mm-hmm.
you know, like trying to get one up on people, like that's not what sparring's for. It's to, you know, gain technique and like learn timing. And it's not to try to blast your opponent. And like there's people that'll come in just throwing big hooks, head kicks, body hooks, you know, they're just nasty, like trying to really drop you.
Uh-huh.
And they're not good. They're not doing well, but they're throwing hard. You know what I mean? If you're going at a too slow of a pace, somebody will catch you. You know what I mean? They'll hit you with something good and you're like, all right. And then you pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to. Everybody says, tell the dude to calm down. But it happens where if I'm getting ready for a fight, I don't have the patience that I usually do.
Well,
it's like I'll, or me, or coach, or some people that also fight will give the dude a few.
Yeah.
You know? Like, hey, calm down.
Yeah.
And like, he'll be looking at you like, oh, is something wrong? Well, I was just about to ask you that. You know? You were just doing that. I don't know if I know the exact instance you're talking about, but it's happened.
Yeah.
5-6 times, probably.
Because I think, like, so, like, I know for you, you joined MMA just because out of shape, you got inspired. Some people, it's like growing up in domestic violence households.
Right.
All they know is fighting. They want to be able to defend people.
Right, yeah.
So it's different.
I'm exactly. Sure. No, yeah. Like, I wanted to stay in shape. And I was like, I'm pretty good at this. And then I fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the first month. I was like, I'm going to do this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to see where this takes me. Like, and it's so far been pretty good.
That's wonderful.
I've got another fight. I think, like, if I win this next...
When you win this fight.
That was a preface. So, like, when I win this next fight, I believe that they'll give me a regional title fight.
Yes.
I believe. I really do.
Uh-huh.
Because it should be in dominant fashion.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be fighting for a big shiny gold belt.
Oh, yeah.
It's got the whole Midwest on it.
And that'll soon be your profile picture?
Exactly.
With the big Yeah.
Soon enough. But I got to focus on this next one, of course. People talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty confident in what's going to happen.
No, I like that focusing on your current fight. Because, I mean, all I saw Leon Edwards talk about the first fight with Bilal Muhammad.
Right.
When he's like, I'm going up fighting DDP, fighting Adesanya.
Right.
And then he loses.
And then he,
almost every round.
You look over Bilal, you know, you look over people. And if you're in the UFC, there's no easy fight. You cannot look past anybody. Like, I've seen clips of this dude that I fought. I don't think I'm looking past him at all.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he's great. I think that there's levels to this stuff, mm-hmm. and that'll be figured out pretty quick on November 2nd. I really do believe that. And so, yeah, there's... I don't know. I think it'll be quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have the most time today. Busy man, yeah. Working man. But I did want to ask you one final question.
Yes.
And that is, what are some of your goals in life? Maybe it could be part of fighting, maybe personal stuff. What are some goals that you have?
Yeah, I want to be a world champion.
Yes, sir.
It's going to take a lot of work. So I want to be a resilient man.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be somebody who can bounce back from adversity,
yep.
You know. So I think this will be a good test for me coming up. You know, I lost my last fight.
Yeah.
The split decision. But I'm going to show what's going on. But outside of that, I've got a lot of goals. I think I want to build like a financial barrier around me and my family and everything that's, I don't know, I want to retire my mom. I want to buy her a house, you know. That's a big one. I always talk about, like, think about, like, retiring my mom. I know, like, setting a world championship belt at her feet would mean so very much to me.
Yeah.
I think it'd mean a lot to her, too. And it would, as long as she's good, I'm good. My mm-hmm. mom means everything to me.
Love that.
So make sure my mom's good and my siblings are good. I'm good. And that'll happen through due time. And yeah, eventually, I mean, everybody says it, but probably have a family. But yeah, not anytime soon. I'm not one for that, but I will be eventually. I like to fish too much and fight too much to have time for other people. I think, but I don't know.
It can be tough at times. Yeah,
yeah, it can be awkward too at certain times. So sometimes that doesn't work out. But we're working on that.
Absolutely.
So another goal is to become less awkward. We'll see how that goes.
It's a learned skill. I mean, honestly, exactly. You'd be surprised.
Another goal was to shout out my sister, Katie. I told her I would shout her out. I know I mentioned her. She didn't think I would. Shout out, Katie.
Shout out, Katie.
Shout out, Mark 44 MMA. That's another goal of mine, is to shout out Mark 44 MMA, Clay Udley. I think it's 1524 Tullamore Street here in Mankato.
Mm-hmm.
Come in, try it out for a week if you're in the area or anything. Call and ask for Mark.
That's a joke. Okay.
So, like, it's Mark 44 MMA, and the owner's Clay Udley. People always ask me, who's Mark?
It's Mark's
gym. Yeah, like, who's Mark? Where's Mark? Oh, you're Clay. You're Jimmy. Where's Mark? You know? Like, you're Ricky.
That's so clever. Right? Think of that.
So, call and ask for Mark. No. But it's a pleasure to be on.
No, it was great having you.
Yeah.
And in terms of those goals, in terms of fighting, I already know you're going to be successful because it's I don't want to be famous.
Yeah,
I don't want to be a millionaire, billionaire, you know. If you start with that, I mean, everyone looks at Conor McGregor because he's world known. He's a very special case, and you have to look at where his life is at now since getting money.
What is he doing? Right. What is he doing now?
Is he a better person?
No.
Like,
whatsoever, no.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's never about the money, you know. I think there's a lot bigger things in life about money. I think it's family's a big one to me.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships, just making sure people see me as a good person. You know, I think that's one of my big goals in life, is like, I just want to be known as a good guy.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing a pretty decent job.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I pride myself in that. I think people think I'm a good guy. And that's a goal of mine, for sure.
Man, you seem like a great guy.
Thank you.
It has been a...
You too.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Appreciate
that. Absolutely. Yeah.
It was a pleasure having you on.
It sure was.
I'm not going to say I hope to have you back sometime soon. I just get the feeling from you that you'll be back
more times than once
on here.
Absolutely.
Man. You're a great conversationalist. I got to give that
to you. Thank you. I talk a lot, man. Yeah.
Hey.
It's another one of my strengths is talking. But in a certain setting.
Right? Uh-huh.
Like, if you get me around like a crowd, like, dude, I'll clam up. I'll just zip up. But like, I'm a good one-on-one person, conversationalist. So yes, I would love to be back.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, have me back after November 2nd, maybe.
Let's do it after
we'll
a victory.
About the fight. Yeah, talk about the fight. Maybe I'll have another one lined up. Maybe a flight to Thailand lined up. Something like that.
We'd love to hear that.
All right.
Well, Jimmy, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you
for everyone listening.
I appreciate it.
Of course. I'll catch you next time on the Surprise Jam Podcast.